You're listening to The Kelly Joe Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Dam Inden production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in the show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. Welcome, welcome. It's a beautiful day in Inden country, and it is a beautiful day to be Inden. So if you're Inden, make sure you celebrate your Indianness, considering it's Native American Heritage Month. I like American Indian. It's what the government, you know, not that we care what they call us, but I like that. And plus, Native American, it always feels like to me like that waters down being an Indian. Like they don't want us to say Indian, and you know, if you know anything about me, it's the first thing somebody doesn't want me to do, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to say Indian. So there you go. But, you know, sad news across the country and more gun violence. I mean, this is the repercussions of all that. And I don't know if you've been following everything, but the headline from the AP, a suspect caught in fatal shooting of three UVA players. A University of Virginia student and former member of the school's football team fatally shot three current players as they returned from a field trip, authorities said, setting off panic and a 12-hour lockdown of the campus until the suspect was captured Monday. Students who were told to shelter in place beginning late Sunday described terrifying hours in hiding. While police searched for the gunman through the night, students sought safety in closets, dorm rooms, libraries, and apartments. They listened to police scanners and tried to remember everything they were taught as children during active shooting. Drills. I think all of us were really just unsettled and trying to keep, you know, our cool, level heads during the situation, student Shannon Lake said. Officials got word during a morning news briefing that the suspect, 22-year-old Christopher Darnell Jones, had been arrested. Just give me a moment to thank God, breathe a sigh of relief, University Police Chief Timothy Longo Sr. said after Jones was in custody. The violence erupted near a parking garage just after 10:15 a.m. Sunday as a charter bus full of students returned to Charlottesville from seeing a play in Washington. University President Jim Ryan said authorities did not have a full understanding of the motive or circumstances of the shooting. The entire university community is grieving this morning, a visibly strained Ryan said. The killings happened at a time when the nation is on edge from a string of mass shootings during the last 6 months, including an attack that killed 19 children and two teachers at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, a shooting at the 4th of July parade in a Chicago suburb that killed 7 people and wounded more than 30, and a shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York that killed 10 people and wounded 3. Lake, a third-year student from Crozet, Virginia, ended up spending the night with friends in a lab room much of the time in a storage closet. Elizabeth Paul, a student from Northern Virginia, was working at a computer in the library when she got the call from her mom, who had received word about the shooting. Paul said she initially brushed off any concern, thinking it was probably something minor. She realized she needed to take it seriously when her computer lit up with a warning about an active shooter. I think it said, run, hide, fight, she said. Paul said she stayed huddled with several others in the library. She spent most of the night on the phone with her mom, not even talking to her the whole time necessarily, but she wanted the line to be on so that if I needed something, she was there, she said. Ryan said that Ryan identified the three slain students as Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Deshaun Perry. Two students were wounded and hospitalized. Mike Hollins, a running back on the football team, was in stable condition, his mother said Monday. Mike is a fighter and he's showing it. We have great doctors who have been working with him, and most importantly, we have God's grace and God's hands on him. The shooting touched off an intense manhunt that included a building-by-building search of the campus. The lockdown order was lifted Monday morning. Jones was taken into custody without incident in suburban Richmond, police said. The arrest warrants for Jones charged him with 3 counts of second-degree murder and 3 counts of using a handgun in the commission of a felony, Longo said. It was not immediately clear whether Jones had an attorney or when he would make his first court appearance. His father, Chris Jones Sr., told Richmond TV station WTVR he was in disbelief after getting the call from police on Monday. My heart goes out to their families. I don't know what to say except I'm sorry on his behalf and I apologize, he said. Jones had once been on the football team, but he had not been a part of the team for at least a year, Longo said. The UVA website listed him as a team member during the 2018 season and said that he did not play in any games. Hours after Jones was arrested, first-year head football coach Tony Elliott sat alone outside the athletic building used by the team, at times with his head in his hands. He said the victims were all good kids. These were precious young men, were called away too soon. We're all fortunate to have them be a part of our lives. They touched us, inspired us, and worked incredibly hard as representatives of our program, university, and community, he said. Jones came to the attention of the university's threat assessment team this fall after a person unaffiliated with the school reported a remark Jones made about possessing a gun. No threat was reported in conjunction with concern about the weapon, but officials looked into it, following up with Jones's roommate. Longo also said Jones had been involved in a hazing investigation of some sort. He said he did not have all the facts and circumstances of that case, though he said the probe was closed after witnesses failed to cooperate. In addition, officials learned about a prior incident outside Charlottesville involving a weapons violation. That incident was not reported to the university as it should have been, Longo said. M. Gunter, a second-year anthropology student, heard three gunshots and then three more while she was studying genetics in her dorm room. She said she knew right away there was an active shooter outside and told the others to go in their rooms, shut their blinds, and turn off the lights. For the next 12 hours, she stayed in her room with a friend, listening to a police scanner and messaging her family and friends who were stuck in other areas of the campus. Students know from active shooter drills how to respond, she said. But how do we deal with it afterwards, she asked. What's it going to be like in a week and in a month? Eva Stroville, the editor-in-chief of the student newspaper, The Cavalier Daily, noted that her generation grew up with generalized gun violence. But that doesn't make it any easier when it's your own community, she said. Classes and other academic activities were canceled for Tuesday, which is today. An impromptu vigil drew a large crowd Monday night, and a university-wide vigil was being planned for a later date. Governor Glenn Youngkin ordered flags lowered to half-staff on Tuesday in respect and memory of the victims, their families, and the Charlottesville community. Scores of worshipers gathered Monday evening on campus at St. Paul's Memorial Church for a prayer service. Have pity on us and all who mourn for Devin, Lavelle, and Deshaun, innocent people slaughtered by the violence of our fallen world, an officiant said in a prayer. Elsewhere, police in Moscow, Idaho, were investigating the deaths of four University of Idaho students found Sunday in a home near the campus. Authorities released few details except to say that the deaths were labeled homicide. My goodness. It's very, very scary. And these young people were coming back from a field trip. To see from a play, no doubt one of those awesome field trips that football players get to go on, and you know, student athletes get to go on and blow off some steam after their games and different things like that. And just coming back, that guy went on that bus. He went on their bus and shot them. And it just the interviews and the reports are just absolutely terrible. And I can just imagine those other young people that were on that bus. I mean, the fear, they're never going to get over that. And you know, what that young person said was right. I mean, this generation, like one of the things that kept coming back in this article that I just read is how these kids like automatically like go and kick back in to that active shooter training, right? Like, oh, you know, just like the girl in her dorm said, I told everybody get in their rooms, turn out their lights and shut their blinds. I mean, that just kicks back in for these young people. And they've grown up with it all of their lives since they were children, since they were babies. And look, I mean, it's still happening. And there's so much. And this goes back to where I wholly disagree on many levels with university law enforcement and universities, how they handle these things as a whole. It goes back to all of that because, okay, he was already on their radar. He was already on their radar. And he was on their radar for a couple times. And one was like, well, they didn't report that to the university. Well, if that's true and that's going on, why isn't there some kind of MOA or MOU between your agencies that says, hey, when these young people are stopped, we're going to check their ID and we're going to ask them if they're a student at the university. And if they say yes, then you know, make sure that you send a copy of that report to whoever's over there, to the powers that be. Make sure there's a digital copy with it and a timestamp. Because unfortunately, I mean, what doesn't fall through the cracks? Like, how big are these cracks? Because there's a lot of shit that seems to fall through them. And I mean, be an Indian and make a small infraction at game day, they'll want to throw you in jail. But get stopped on a weapons charge as a student of the school. And it's like, yeah, well, let the university figure it out. I mean, is that what's the attitude there? I mean, what is it? Because you would, and again, this is just issues I have with law enforcement across the board. Agencies should talk to each other. Agencies should share that information. But a lot of times, and this is just from research and just what I can see, it turns into a pissing contest with these agencies. And it just, and what happens is the cracks get bigger and these cases just fall through. And it's scary when you think of the failure, the major failure of these law enforcement agencies, these campus law enforcement agencies. Google Lauren's Promise. It's a Dateline episode, and it talks about this young lady who was a track and field star, had a boyfriend, was getting blackmailed, was calling campus police, like, and they even say she did everything right. But she still got murdered on campus by a registered sex offender with a history of violence and assault. And it's just, it boggles the mind. Like, how many more of these students, how much, and here's the thing, these are football players who actually have some modicum of security, right? I mean, watch them when they walk in the stadium or when, you know, any other time they're high profile. What, was it just regular students? Were they just a part of a regular student group and that's why they didn't need security? But here's the thing, even if that's not part of their security protocols, why not? I don't know, what is campus security doing if they're not providing security to the campus and to these students that are coming in and out of it? How do you know, like, I mean, those people could have been a hostage on that bus and they wouldn't have known. Like, I know that this is me trying to understand and figure out why these tragedies keep happening and why we have yet another college shooting, another thing that we have to talk about. And gun violence, and these poor young people who were just going about their day and you know, being young people and enjoying that. And those guys are probably living their dream, you know, playing football, having fun. And it's just, it's not fair, and it is not right. And this does bring an issue of access to campus, access to athletes, access to students, access to, a you know, just so many things. And it's really scary. And how do you know where to provide that security without providing it everywhere? It's really scary. And I'm sure it all comes down to budgets and money. And I don't know what the answer is. Cause y'all know I am not for giving more monetary resources to law enforcement agencies, because if there's something that needs to be addressed, then I just don't know. But this is security we're talking about, so maybe I'll ask Dr. Crow about it. I'm sure he's got some insight. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Jo Show, a Damn Indian production on Talk Jive Radio. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information, or if you want to donate, email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can always catch past episodes of all shows wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.